Pop Spotting 189.
Thursday, January 5th, 2012.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's the first Thursday of 2012, which means it's time for our first special guest of the new year.
Yes, it's everyone's favorite day of the week, Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday.
Joining us today is Jason Grooms from Orlando, Florida.
Jason is the other half of the dynamic duo behind the Forgotten Flicks podcast with Joel Robertson. He also writes the Deep Fried Cheese column for ForgottenFlicks.com.
He's a writer, adventurer, and a total movie and TV nerd, but when he's not talking about movies and TV, Jason is adventuring with his wife and five kids, all over Florida, and he writes about it on his family adventure blog, dadquest.com.
If that wasn't enough, Jason puts his degree in anthropology and primatology to work as a business training professional, developing training videos, workshops, and e-learning solutions.
Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you very much, Ryan and Jen.
Welcome.
I gotta say, from one beach state to another, I'm very excited to come on the show today.
Hey, thanks for staying up late. Yes, we are spanning the United States here, and it's always good to talk to someone else from Jen's home state. Yep. Here in the darkest of winters is when she's the most homesick about Florida. So five kids, DadQuest is right. How do you keep it all together?
Yeah, we only have three, and sometimes I think I'm going to go insane. So my hat's off to you.
Yeah, I generally just use the line that I don't like to be bored. So with five kids around the house, it's never quiet, never a dull moment for sure.
Absolutely. It's like having three young tornadoes or five young tornadoes in your house all the time.
Yes.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. Jen, as we mentioned previously, is a big fan of your podcast. And really, it's a perfect match for our Thursday shows where we ask people much smarter and much cooler than us to share three things that are worth checking out.
So, Jason, what is your first recommendation?
Yeah, so my first pick, I actually went with something kind of hometown because there aren't a lot of musicians from Florida. And my first pick actually was a guy named J.J. Gray, who does very kind of bluesy southern rock style music, but he's from Florida, and a lot of his songs are in the style of old Florida. He talks about kind of the Florida before the colonization. He does a little bit of reminisce about what Florida was like before it was touristy. But his music is really kind of soulful and slow. And the funny thing is, I actually found him watching an episode of The Jeff Corwin Experience, which is a reptile show on Animal Planet. And he did an episode where he came to Florida, said he visited his good friend, and I don't know if it's actually his friend or if it was just someone they found. They found him related, but up near Jacksonville, and they went out on his property and looked for, I don't know, like copperheads and water moccasins and such. And so I saw the name, and I'm always on the lookout for music. If people that listen to the show may not know this about me, but I actually really, really love looking for new music and new genres and things that kind of are on the cutting edge. And I have a huge, huge iTunes library full of, I think I'm up to 15 days of music right now. But I looked into his stuff and I found his website and I found his music, and it really is just very cool. And I have owned now all of his albums, which I think there are four that he's had so far. His most recent one is Georgia Warhorse, and all of them are just kind of a cool sound, very cool bluesy southern rock style. So you have one sample of his music I wanted to play that I thought was pretty cool. So
okay, what's the track?
It's called Lockloosa, and it's actually the name of a river in Florida, kind of a backwoods river, but very kind of off the beaten path, not something that you typically see as a tourist, but kind of cool music. It's from his original, I think it's his first or second album, called Lockloosa, which is where the song gets its name.
All right, let's listen.
All we need is one more damn developer down a hard out. Oh, yeah, yeah. All we need is one more Mickey Mouse, another golf course, another country club, another gated community. Lord, I need her. Lord, I need her. Oh, yeah. As you're going away,
right. So what do you think? Lock Lusa there from J.J. Gray.
I really like that a lot. And I'm wondering, for somebody who's completely new to him, which album of the four that you mentioned would you recommend first?
Oh, gosh. I would definitely start with Lock Lusa. It's kind of one of his originals. His original sound. His new one is called Georgia Warhorse, as I mentioned, but he goes off in some different directions, kind of gets a little more soulful in that, but he's got one in the new one that's called King Hummingbird that's fantastic. I mean, I love his music, and he's still kind of small. I mean, you follow him on Facebook, and he posts on when he's going to be at different venues and where he's going to be playing. So one of my goals in the next couple of years is to actually catch one of his live performances, because I've heard nothing but absolutely fantastic things about his ability to perform live and kind of play to an audience. So something I'd always wanted to catch. But Lock Loose is definitely a good one, but Georgia Warhorse is another really one.
I really like the sound of that too. I can kind of hear it over the closing credits, or maybe the opening scene from an episode of Justified, or the closing credits from Sons of Anarchy. I mean,
yeah,
it really has that
definitely.
Has that good feel to it. You say that he's from Florida. It's interesting. We just mentioned her, you know, Jen feeling homesick. Does he have a specific political bent, or is it just basically about the history of it that he doesn't want people to forget?
Yeah, it's really kind of the history of Florida, and he talks a lot about, I mean, a couple of his songs, he talks about what Florida was like before Mickey Mouse, you know, before tourism became the bent of the area and really became the main industry. It's more about what it felt like in the swamp and what it felt like in the highlands, and he doesn't really get into too much political stuff, but he's definitely got a very cool kind of old Florida feel, and, you know, Jen, you'll probably pick up on this, especially being from more of a natural area of Ocala, that's really what he focuses on. That let's not lose the natural Florida. Let's not lose what the you know, what Florida was originally about before the developers got here. It's kind of his bent. So
I can't wait to check out more of his stuff. So what is your second recommendation?
Okay, so my second pick is actually a movie. I tried to span the different medias here.
Sure.
This past year, Joel and I had a chance to go to the Florida Film Festival as media. We got our media press passes and went to a couple of different movies and saw some really great flicks before they came out to the big screen. But I saw one that really just struck me. It was a movie called Midnight Sun. And it's sort of – it's a vampire movie, but it's not really – anything traditional that you've seen in the past. It's directed by Scott Liebricht, and we actually got to meet Scott. He was at the viewing of the movie and did a Q&A afterwards. It was really cool. But it's kind of a dark, very low-budget movie about a guy who realizes at some point that he's different. I mean, obviously in the beginning of it, he is a guy who has some kind of disease or some kind of disorder that he can't be out in sunlight. But you don't really know going into it if it's really a vampire thing or if it's really just kind of a disease. So I won't give away the ending of it or kind of how they relate it. But it's also got Tracy Walter in it, who's, you know, he's been in a lot of films for many, many years. He was in Batman and Silence of the Lambs. He's kind of the old codger, almost like the old 49er style guy. Has a bit part in it as a janitor, but it's a really good film, and there's a really cool soundtrack to it. And for such a low-budget film, they do a good job of this guy kind of discovering and figuring out, am I a vampire, or is this, you know, am I just going crazy? And most of the film is with him, just with the main character, trying to figure out whether or not this is something that you know, he's dealing with. So it's really kind of a cool film, and I know it's making its rounds around the country right now at various film festivals. I just saw that it was out in California at one point, out in Los Angeles playing at a film festival, and every so often you see it. But they've got a really neat website. If you look up Midnight Sun, it kind of shows where the next films are going to be. So if you get a chance and if it's coming to your town, definitely check it out. It's kind of a cool spin on the horror genre, especially the vampire stuff.
Well, you know, we're right in the middle of vampire mania. There's I don't know how many different franchises exploring it. We're still, you know, trying to take cover from all of the twihards out there. So what, yeah. You're saying it's a different take. I like that it's an indie film. It does sound different. It's a person who's, you know, just trying to come to terms with who he is, what he is. But if you had to compare this to, I suppose, any of the other vampire brands out there, is there any that would be a close fit?
Wow, this is it's a hard one to kind of pigeonhole. I mean, it has elements of sort of Interview with the Vampire, where Brad Pitt is just kind of dealing with what it means to be a vampire and almost the human side of the fact that he, you know, can't be out in the sun, and he's got this pain and this hunger for blood of some kind. At one point in this, he actually goes to a butcher and buys the guy off to try to get the runoff blood from the meat, but it doesn't really kind of do it for him. And then there's the added element, he meets someone out, because the only time he can go out is, of course, at night, so he's always got third shift jobs, and the people that he runs into are sort of the people you'd expect to be out, you know, at 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so it's really kind of a quiet film. But it does have elements of, you know, Interview with a Vampire, and maybe even some, if you want to kind of call it, into Lost Boys, where you've got the main character kind of dealing with what it means to be a vampire.
Well, definitely sounds like something to check out, even though you might be dealing with vampire overload.
So what is your third recommendation?
So my third recommendation, completely different. I kind of pulled three random things. They seem like they're not really connected, but all things that I'm very passionate about. The third one is actually a podcast.
Ah.
And I found this podcast a couple of years ago. I don't listen to a lot. I mean, I'm so busy with Forgotten Flicks podcast that I listen to a very scant few other shows during my commute back and forth to work. And this is one of them. It's called The Tobolowsky Files.
Oh,
have you guys ever heard of this?
Yes, I love that show.
Yeah, Stephen Tobolowsky, who you may know from, I mean, he's been in a lot of movies, but one of his most famous is Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. But he does a show in which he pretty much just tells stories of his life. And you would think that that would kind of be blasé or a little slow or a little boring, but they are actually incredibly engaging. And he is such a fantastic storyteller. He tells the story of at one point when he was in a play for a long time with this Norwegian director who was very eccentric and odd, but and invited him to come to Norway to potentially be in this big, giant Norwegian movie that they were going to film. And it's just this incredible storytelling of his discovery and his kind of learning about himself and his, at that time, his marriage to his previous wife who was getting a divorce from. It's just an amazingly hooking kind of a podcast. I mean, you listen to it and you can't help but you've got to listen to the next one. And his voice is just the perfect storyteller. And it's done by Slash Film. So you go to the Slash Film Network, he's on there. But I just have a whole new respect for him as an actor, as an artist, it makes me want to definitely see him on stage or, you know, see something more than just some of the films that he's done. But it's just incredible podcast, just very, very moving stuff. So,
yeah, it's the stories that he tells, and he does have a really great voice, but he also has a way with words. He's able to convey an idea in such a way that you hadn't even considered. I love his use of language on the podcast.
Yeah, he speaks like a brilliant writer, so it makes me want to find some of his written work too, because he's great. I mean, he's fantastic at it. So
yeah, I think it's come up before. I know Jen's a fan. I've not really been able to catch up with an extended listen. In terms of the format, is it basically him, you know, sharing his stories like a fireside chat, or is he interviewed, or do people prompt him? I mean, are there any other voices that you might catch on the Tobolowsky Files?
Yeah, it's an interesting way that they introduce it. It actually starts out with one of the producers of Slash Film kind of introduces him by either talking about some movie he's been in, and you can tell that he and Steven are friends, and they kind of banter back and forth very little. But as they banter back and forth, at one point, Steven's saying something and he just starts into a story and the introducer, the kind of the MC of the show, disappears.
Huh.
And then Steven just kind of starts talking for the next 45 minutes or so. And then at the very, very end, the host kind of comes back and talks a little bit about where you can find him and, you know, what he's doing lately. But really, it's a kind of a fascinating little twist on the way that a podcast is done, because they start out talking and then he starts kind of telling a story based on what they've talked about. So it's fascinating the way they do it. You've got to listen to it really to kind of get a feel for it. But it's really an amazing listen. It's one of the best podcasts I've heard in the last year or so, at least. And I think he's up to like 50 episodes or so. So he's been doing it for a good little while.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, again, I know it's popular. I know Jen likes it, and it definitely sounds like something I need to commit the time to check out. So, Jen, what were Jason's three picks?
Jason's picks were Jacksonville-born musician J.J. Gray, the film Midnight Sun, directed by Scott Lebricht, and the Tobolowsky Files podcast.
Fantastic. And a great mix. Like you said, a good coverage of types of media. But now that you've shared what's on your mind, we'd like to share with you some trivia questions. Are you ready to play?
I think ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Well, it's not so bad, Jason. You know,
I don't get turkey stuffing and cranberry, I'm okay.
Right. It's not so bad because we give you three categories and you only need to pick two that you want to take on. And then you only need to answer two out of three questions. Jen, what are Jason's three choices?
His choices are 742 Evergreen Terrace, a TV category, Bill versus Bill, a movie star category, or Ballyhoo, a musical category.
Ah, well, you know, and I believe your co-host there, Joel, was really hoping you'd take that musical category. But what's it going to be?
I think I'll take Bill versus Bill, and I think I'll actually go with the musical category for a change.
Fantastic. I like it. All right. Well, let's start with Bill versus Bill.
They don't look alike at all, but they still get confused for each other all the time. You'll name the role and you name which Bill played it.
That's
Bill
Paxton or Bill Pullman.
Right.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Number one, deep sea explorer Brock Lovett in Titanic.
That would be Bill Paxton.
Yes.
Very good. Fantastic.
Number two, President Thomas J. Whitmore in Independence Day.
Oh, that's Bill Pullman.
Correct.
For sure. You've got the category, but can you clear it out?
And number three, Chet, abusive older brother to helpless nerd Wyatt in Weird Science.
Oh, one of my favorite movies. Bill Paxton?
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes, 3-3. Congratulations. You got Bill versus Bill. And now to our musicals category, Ballyhoo with Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Recently, we ventured into the world of musicals, and we were really pleased to find that a lot of people liked them too. Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein were key to the golden age of Broadway in the 40s and 50s. We'll give you some of their lyrics, and you name the musical. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, number one. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Yes.
I know the song. Mm-hmm. Was that, it was the one with Julie Andrews.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The hills are alive.
I love it. But can you
the sound of music?
Yes.
Yes, you pulled it out there. Fantastic.
I see Julie Andrews spinning on the hills. That's
yep.
Number two, when men say I'm cute and funny and my teeth aren't teeth but pearl, I just lap it up like honey.
I don't recognize that one. Was it the one with Eliza Doolittle?
No.
No. Well, the title of the song is I Enjoy Being a Girl. Can you give us the musical now?
Guys and Dolls?
No.
No. We're sorry. Well, what musical is it?
Flower Drum Song, which is not really the most PC of musicals, and the song has been covered and parodied everywhere. I wasn't even aware that it was part of a musical.
Right, exactly. But that's okay. You can still take the category and win Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday with this third question.
Number three, getting to feel free and easy when I am with you, getting to know what to say, haven't you noticed, suddenly I'm bright and breezy.
would that be Getting to Know You? Would that, yes. Is that, was that The King and I?
Yes, yes, absolutely correct. It is, in fact, The King and I. Believe it or not, that melody was originally written by Rodgers and Hammerstein for South Pacific, but because they didn't use it, it got to be one of the hit songs from The King and I. Holy cow, you have done it. Congratulations for winning Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday,
yay!
Jason.
Congrats.
Well, I had no expectations of winning that, for sure, listening to the show.
I am glad that you took that category. I was sure that it was going to just sort of hang in there for months. So you've even saved us as well. Jason, it has been a great pleasure and honor having you here and kind of closing the loop on the Forgotten Flicks duo on our Thursday shows. Before we let you go, can you remind everybody where they can get more of that Jason, that Flicks sidekick?
Yes, definitely check us out on ForgottenFlicks.com. That's where I'm primarily housed. I'm also on Twitter at FlicksSidekick. That's Flicks with an X. And I also have the DadQuest adventure blog, which can be found at DadQuest.com. Or I'm also on Twitter there for it's just at DadQuest.
Fantastic. That sounds like a great brand. I'll read it, but I feel like I'll just get exhausted reading the things that you're up to. Thanks for coming on the show, Jason.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Ryan and Jen, for having me on. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha.
We love sharing the voices and suggestions of the people who listen to Pop Spotting, the real brains behind our show.
If you'd like to join us on a future episode, we would love to have you. You don't need to be a podcaster. You don't need to have a blog. All you need is 3 pics to share and a Skype account.
That's right. We want to hear from you no matter what, and it's easy to get in touch. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting, where many listeners are posting some great comments, some really great questions, and lots of links.
You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting. My personal account is at Hawaii.
And I'm at Mrs. Hawaii.
And you can even look for us over on Google+.
Thanks to listeners like you. We'll be back tomorrow for another serving of Pop Spotting feedback.
And thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for making our theme song. Once again, mahalo to you for listening to Pop Spotting.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Ciao.
Arrivederci.